We're reading and we're looking this morning in Mark chapter 1 at an incident that occurred in the synagogue at Capernaum one Sabbath day, as Mark records it for us in Mark chapter 1 and verses 23 to 28. When Jesus preached in that synagogue, there was astonishment. We read in verse 22, as Jesus entered the synagogue and taught, they were astonished at his teaching. Literally, we would say today, he blew their minds, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But what we're going to focus on this morning is this second incident, this encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ and an unclean spirit. Verse 23, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit and he cried out. So first of all, see with me here the conflict. We have an encounter, a conflict between Jesus and this man with an unclean spirit. As all the synagogue worshippers are astonished at the authority and power of the teaching of Jesus Christ, perhaps jabbing one another in the ribs with an elbow and saying, we've never heard anything like this before. Suddenly in that synagogue there's this piercing, shrieking voice. And everybody turns to look at this man who cries out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Our translators in verse 24 are translating what was an unusual idiom. Literally, if we were to translate it, it would be something like this. What to us and to you? Why are you interfering with us? Why are you having dealings with us? What have you got to do with us? Now, notice it was one man speaking, but he speaks in the plural form, us. So the unclean spirit used the vocal cords of that man in the synagogue that day. But he's asking a question about Jesus now intruding into the realm of unclean spirits, demonic activity, the powers of darkness. What to us? What have you to do with us? Did you come to destroy us? There's a word of dread there. The unclean spirit that knew that he and those of his kind were under the judgment of Jesus Christ. The unclean spirit knew that he would ultimately be banished by that same word of authority preaching in the synagogue. One day Jesus would consign him and unclean spirits and their leader, the devil, to the pit of everlasting burning. And the unclean spirit knew it. So there's this word of dread. Did you come to destroy us? Have you come on a mission to bring us to destruction? Will you send us forever to the lake of fire? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You see, there's also a word of recognition, an acknowledgement of who Jesus is, his dignity, the majesty of his position as the Messiah, the promised one of God, God's appointed prophet, priest, and king. He's the Holy One of God, who has come from God, and who is God incarnate, the Messiah. And the unclean spirit recognizes who Jesus is. Now, immediately when we read from the Bible verses that have to do with the demonic and demonic activity, there are all sorts of responses. For some people, there is an idle curiosity. Oh, I wonder what we will find out this morning about demons and demonic activity and the devil. The Bible doesn't speak about what happened in the synagogue that day to satisfy idle curiosity. For some, there's a morbid dread. Well, I wish the preacher wouldn't talk about demons and demonic activity. I'm really afraid of all that sort of thing. And the Bible gives us these verses that we may see how we can have victory in this area. And for some in our day, there is a proud cynicism which says the devil, demons, demonic activity, we've left that all behind hundreds of years ago. We are sophisticated Londoners in 2018. What on earth has this got to do with us? And if that's your reaction, then the devil has been very clever. That you're missing dealing with the greatest enemy of your soul, the devil, who would destroy you if he could. And one thing about an enemy is if he can disguise himself and pretend he's not there, then he's nearly won the victory already. You need to be aware of the Bible's teaching that there is an all-good sovereign God, but there is an enemy. You have an enemy this morning. Your enemy is the devil, and he'll devour you. He'll consign you to hell forever if he can. And there's only one way of victory. So we see here this morning, as Mark gives his account, that the ancient conflict prophesied in the Garden of Eden, that there would be enmity, a conflict, between the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, and the seed of the serpent, demons and demonic activity, that is now coming to expression. In the synagogue in Capernaum, warfare breaks out, a conflict between the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, and the seed of the serpent, a man possessed with an unclean spirit. And why has the conflict broken out? What has happened? Well, if the devil and demonic forces were present in that synagogue up until this particular Sabbath day, they could stay in the shadows, wring their hands with glee. Sabbath after Sabbath, they just listen to people droning on, the scribes, about all their legalism and traditions and religious talk that never pricked a conscience anywhere. And the devil could afford to be quiet in those circumstances. The unclean spirits could stay in the dark corners of the synagogue and giggle with glee. But on this day, Jesus is teaching. Jesus is teaching with authority. And the word of God is coming to people with power, and consciences are being awoken. God's holy law, that you've broken God's law, the sin of the human heart, redemption, the need for cleansing and pardon and forgiveness, the necessity of a holy life, heaven, hell, all these issues now are being laid out before people with power pressed home to the mind and conscience and heart. And when that happens, what results in the devil's kingdom? Well, the devil begins to lose his captive. When the human heart hears the word of Jesus with authority, Satan's kingdom is attacked. His kingdom is attacked by the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what's happening now on this day. Previously, that demon-possessed man could have been in the synagogue Sabbath after Sabbath, never felt the need to cry out once. But on this Sabbath, as Jesus teaches with power, the gauntlet is thrown down. It's though Jesus is saying to every synagogue worshiper in Capernaum, I have come to call my sheep. I have come to call men and women, boys and girls, to trust in me, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Deliverer. And as that teaching comes with authority, this demon-possessed man now is stirred up. A conflict, an encounter. The battle lines are being drawn. Here's D-Day in the synagogue in Capernaum. And Mark sets forth Jesus as the mighty conqueror. The conflict. The second thing we see here is the conquest. The victory, the conquest. Mark is very careful to show us Jesus' word. The man cries out, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him. Not a word of request. Not a word of reasoning. Jesus rebuked him. Jesus is not going to enter into a discussion. This is not like Brexit negotiations. He's not going to confer with the unclean spirit. The same authoritative word with which he's been teaching and preaching, now he rebukes the unclean spirit. Be quiet and come out of him. Literally, again, we could translate it, be muzzled and get out. At the moment, we're looking after a very lovable rogue of a dog called Barney, my son's dog. If you were to come to our house, he would bark and jump, but he wouldn't be wanting to bite you. He'd lick you to death. But if a dog is dangerous and is likely to bite someone, then wise owners put a muzzle on the dog. Perhaps you've been walking around, you've seen a dog with like a little cage over their mouth. And it's a muzzle to stop the dog being able to open its mouth to bite. Well, that's the picture of what Jesus says to this unclean spirit here. Be muzzled. I do not need you to testify to my identity. I don't need you to tell people who I am. I need nothing from you. Be muzzled. And get out. And as you read these words, it may be you feel like I feel. I feel like shouting, hallelujah. Jesus speaks like that to this unclean spirit. Be quiet. And come out of him. Just the word of Jesus. And the unclean spirit is rebuked. No incantations, no rituals, no chanting, no laying on of hands, no lengthy prayers. Just the bare word of Jesus. Be quiet. And come out of him. And what happens? And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And the man was now a free man. The man was aware. The demon had left him. And all the onlookers, all the people around knew, the unclean spirit was gone. He was at absolute total victory by the bare but mighty word of Jesus. Jesus speaks, and it's done. We sang in our first hymn this morning. Jesus, you're the word of God the Father from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. And that same voice that holds creation together spoke to the unclean spirit, and this victory, the unclean spirit must obey the word of Jesus. So the conflict, the conquest, thirdly, what we might call the comeback of the witnesses. Verse 27, they were all amazed. It's a similar reaction to his teaching with authority. So that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. You see, the people hear Jesus just say, be quiet, and come out of him. And then they see the shaking body. That's how much worth the devil puts on a human being. His body shakes like a fit. They hear the unearthly shriek, and the man is delivered. And they're amazed, and they ask these questions. What is this? What new doctrine is this? There's divine power and weight and authority in the spoken word of Jesus. As he preaches, there is that power. And now there is that divine power as he conquers the unclean spirit. He speaks with the power of God, and the demons must obey his voice. Now, we notice something at this point that's important for us to grasp, that there's a connection between Jesus' teaching with authority, which is what we were thinking about last Sunday evening, and the casting out of the unclean spirit. And I want to highlight it because I want to try to immunize you from the widespread error that says, if only people could see miracles, then they would believe. I wonder if you've ever heard that. If only people could see miracles, then yes, everyone would believe. Pastor, if only you would cast out an unclean spirit from someone here this morning, then everybody here who's not a Christian would believe. Now we must ask, is that so? Who is the greatest miracle worker who ever lived? Yet in spite of the miracles that Jesus performed in Capernaum, including this miracle, most of the people who heard his teaching with power, with authority, saw his mighty miracles, saw him cast out this unclean spirit, most squandered those privileges in impenitence and unbelief. So there can be 10,000 miracles, but unless the rebellion and the unbelief and the pride of the sinful human heart is overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, and someone embraces the message of the gospel, that you're a sinner, you're accountable to God, you've broken God's holy law, you've broken the Ten Commandments, and the only way you can be saved is to cast yourself in that flesh-withering exercise of true repentance and saving faith. You come to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in the place of sinners, until by the power of the Spirit, that sinful pride and rebellion of the human heart is broken. There can be 10,000 miracles, as there were in Capernaum, many miracles. And yet still men and women will not believe. So it's a fallacy, it's a sidetrack to say, oh, if only there were miracles, everyone would believe. Well, there were miracles in Capernaum performed by Jesus, the Son of God. Most of the people in Capernaum were hard-hearted in their unbelief, and Jesus spoke of their greater judgment as a result. So there's the conflict, there's the conquest, there's the comeback, the reaction of the witnesses. The consequences? Well, verse 28 tells us, and immediately his fame, Jesus became famous, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And as Jesus went out on preaching missions around Galilee, as he went into different areas, sick people were brought to him for healing. The powers of darkness were all stirred up. His fame went out before him. News of his mighty power in preaching and teaching and miracles began to spread all through the area. And we need to ask, well, how does it apply to us then this morning? And I want you to see in these verses a graphic display of the power of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ displayed his power and glory. His fame was heralded abroad as a result of what happened in that synagogue in Capernaum that day. In the language of the Bible, the stronger than the strong man, Jesus is the stronger than the strong man, had come. And he binds the strong man. The strong man in the Bible is a picture of the devil. The stronger than the strong man has come, binds the strong man and spoils his goods. It's a biblical picture. It's a biblical idea. Jesus speaks of the devil being like a strong man who has all his goods inside his house. And the strong man sits at the door and says, how are you going to get to my goods? Because you are not strong enough to overpower me. You will never get my goods. My goods are safe in my house because I'm a strong man, and you'll not get past me. Try it if you like, but you won't get past me. I'm the strong man. And Jesus is saying, yes, the devil is the strong man. Unclean spirits, the hosts of hell, here they've entered this man, and an unclean spirit holds him in his grip. And demonic forces overpower people, use their bodies, even speak through their vocal cords. In some instances, do terrible things. But now, says Jesus, someone stronger than the strong man has come. And the Lord Jesus does something to make it as plain as day, clear, obvious, that he is stronger than the strong man. All he needs to do is speak the word. Be muzzled. Get out. And the unclean spirit convulses the man's body, cries out with a loud voice, but must get out of him at the word of Jesus. There's something wonderful about it. No forms, no rituals, no incantation. The gauntlet is thrown down to the powers of darkness. This unclean spirit is encountered. There's this conflict, but it's as if Jesus doesn't even break into a sweat. Just be quiet and come out of him. And at the word of Jesus, Satan's host must flee. The victory is won. So we don't need to be afraid. In the Bible, there are passages which describe the devil and demons. Don't let the devil bluff you into thinking this morning that he is something that he's not. God is the creator. The devil is a creature. God is all powerful. Yes, the devil is powerful. If you're not a Christian, you need to be aware you have a powerful enemy who will drag your soul to destruction. But Mark is saying, the mighty captain of the Lord's host has come. The stronger than the strong man has come. He meets the devil on the devil's own ground, and the captain of our salvation conquers again and again and again. You see, it's a preview of the conflict that breaks out into unusual dimensions in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered, why is there such a stirring up of demonic activity during the life and ministry of Jesus? Well, here's the answer. Because the stronger than the strong man had come. And even the powers of darkness are aware of it. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And this victory points forward to that great victory, the great victory of the cross, when Jesus crushes the head of the serpent. And the victory of the cross is the pledge of that final victory when the devil will be banished to the lake of fire on the day of judgment. So we rejoice here in the graphic display of the power of Jesus Christ. What was the mission of Jesus coming into this world? What did Jesus come into the world to do? 1 John 3 verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. This is why Jesus came, says John, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's his mission, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, we must be careful at this point. We must never think that every person who is not a Christian is possessed by an unclean spirit. That would not be true. That's not biblical. Demon possession was an exceptional thing in the times of Jesus. And even in New Testament times, when the powers of darkness were most violently stirred up against the Son of God, not everyone who didn't believe was possessed by an unclean spirit. So it's not true to think everyone who's not a believer is demon possessed. But isn't what the Bible does say about those who are unbelievers, who will not turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? Let me read first of all from Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, where Paul describes what it's like before someone is a Christian. If you're not a Christian, Paul is describing you here. He's saying, and you he made alive. So if you're a Christian, you've been made alive. This is what you were like. You were dead. Now he means spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. It's a sobering, challenging word to the unbelieving world. The Bible is saying in this unbelieving world, there are those who walk according to the course, the way of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is that? That's Satan. Walking in that way. The world's way. Satan's way. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Rebelling against God. Saying, no, my way, not God's way. That's what this unbelieving world is like. It's a description of you this morning, if you're not a Christian. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here's the description of Jesus himself. John 8, verse 44, he speaks to those in his day who opposed him and would not believe. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you see this description of the Bible. In our unconverted state, we live like the rest of the world, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, slaves of sin, some lust, some passion, some unholy ambition, some pride, so powerful in our lives that we disobey God. And the gospel says it is only Jesus who can set you free. He's the one who's come to destroy the works of the devil. He need just speak the word, be quiet, and come out of him to this man as a word of deliverance and release. And that word can set you free this morning. If you're conscious of your rebellion against God, that you've sinned against heaven, you feel your need to look in faith to Jesus Christ, the Savior who died for sinners and rose from the dead. Will you throw the weight of your whole life and soul upon Jesus Christ? He's the friend of sinners. So if you sit here this morning and you say, well, I feel my need. There are more overt, obvious sins. Cursing or immorality or neglecting the Lord's day. There are more subtle sins. Jealousy, envy, discontent, bitterness. A bad heart attitude. But the message of this passage is, Jesus is the mighty Savior who comes to set you free. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Throw yourself on Jesus Christ in faith. If Jesus can say to this man with an unclean spirit, be quiet and come out of him, then he can speak a word of peace and pardon and liberation to you this morning. You cry to Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus, speak that word of pardon and liberation and power to me. And if you come to Jesus Christ like that, he will not turn you away. And if you're a Christian here this morning, child of God, you may be aware that those you pray for, and you feel as you pray that little seems to be happening. And all too easily we give into a subtle form of unbelief. And we think, well, I know that Jesus can save anyone. But that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter, that friend, that colleague of mine. I wonder. And we need to look again at the mighty power of Jesus Christ here. That there's no one in the circle of our acquaintance who cannot be saved and transformed and know the power of Jesus Christ. We should be encouraged. Yes, Jesus is not now with us in the flesh as he was here in Capernaum. He's now at the right hand of the Father. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. But all principalities and powers have been made subject to him. And he's been made head over all things to the church. So we need not fear. We see people and we feel they're bound by the powers of unbelief, darkness, sin. And we see in our days a tremendous encroachment in our nation of unbelief, demonic activity, the spread of the occult. At times our spirits may tremble in within us. But we remind ourselves this morning, all Jesus needs say is be quiet and come out of him. And at the word of Jesus, Satan's host must flee. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And if you were to ask me this morning, well, is there hope for me here? Is there hope for you, for me? The Lord Jesus still draws near by his word and by the Holy Spirit. He's still the Savior who's mighty to save. You can trust him. Run to him in faith. Discover the power of his grace. Now, if you say, I do not want to be loosed from my sins, I love my sins too much, I love myself too much, disobedience, pride, unbelief reign in my heart. This word of Jesus here makes you stop, surely, reconsider. Will you one day hear his word, not be quiet and come out of him, but his word, depart from me. If he tells you to depart, to go into everlasting fire, then as surely as this unclean spirit had to go at the word of Jesus. So don't take it lightly. Don't play around with Jesus Christ. If you cry out to him, you will find this morning the power and grace of Jesus to you, and you will find him precious in your heart. This man had liberation. He had freedom. He had deliverance. He would say to you this morning, if he were here, don't be a fool. Don't stay in bondage. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience, don't stay there. Hear the word of Jesus. Run to him in faith. He's the one who set me free. This man will say, he can set you free. So let's turn to him in prayer together now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the mighty word of Jesus in his power, who sets the prisoner free. We thank you there was a man in a synagogue in Capernaum long ago who heard that word of power and was set free at the mighty word of Jesus. And we pray that here and in gospel churches all over our nation and in the world today and in weeks and months to come, there will be many hearing the mighty liberating word of Jesus who will be set free and will know the mighty freedom of Jesus Christ who comes. When the Son sets people free, then they are free indeed. Free to know God's grace, his pardon, his forgiveness, his peace. Oh Lord, we praise you this morning, those who have known the power of your grace. Once bound, once slaves of Satan, sporting with death, but now set free to know new life in Jesus Christ. We give all the praise and glory to our risen Saviour. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing another hymn by Charles Wesley to close this morning, 171. Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Fly, run away, flee, in other words, run. 171, Jesus the name, high over all. Let's pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, both this day and world without end. Amen.